guys. Good evening. So glad you could join us for our Thursday. Before we get into that teaching, I just want to give a quick service announcement. Literally, Sunday, we're looking at going outside since the weather right now and all week, it's been forecast to be glorious. Right now, I think it's showing. And sunny. So, having said that, when we do go outside, we just do one service as a church family instead of two, so we can all gather together at 10 a.m., not 9 or 11, at 10 a.m., out in the back of the church. So you just park in the gravel or in the front, and you walk around to the back and bring chairs or a blanket to sit on. You might want to bring layers. It may be cold in the beginning, but it looks like it's not going to be, but if you're somebody that gets cold, you might want to bring a sweater, and then you can take it off as the sun comes out. We will have shade set up for people that don't want to be out in the sun, and we'll have cold drinks and all that other good stuff. So, having said that, 10 a.m. Sunday is what we're planning for. We will send a confirmation, message out on the SMS group and on social media if we do go through with that change. But right now, it's looking like we're going to do that. So, and we will have kids ministry at that one service as well, all the way up through fifth grade. So plan on going outside. I'm excited that we're getting into the good weather season. Now, tonight, what we're going to be talking about is something that applies to every single one of us people in this whole entire world, okay? Whether you're somebody that has placed your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior or not, I think it's safe to say that every single one of us looks to receive direction in our lives in so many different areas, whether it's our careers or parenting or relationships or health. We seek direction on how to do things and in what to do. And it's always with this goal of bettering ourselves, if you will. We want good direction because we want to know how to do things well so we experience the blessings of doing things well in our lives, all right? Every single one of us should be able to agree with that statement. Now, there is no shortage of places to go for direction and guidance in this world. And actually, with the way the internet works today, it's very easy to go to all those multiple or various resources. I mean, you can go to doctors, you can go to books, psychologists, you can go to friends and family, you name it. There's a million different places we can go to get guidance and direction in all our different areas of life. But the problem is, or the bad news is, that in any one of those resources, you can never guarantee that the direction you're getting is good. All right, they might say it's good, you might think it's good, but there's no way to guarantee that it is good. And I think every one of us could probably attest to the fact that at some point we have received direction that we wouldn't have followed if we didn't think it was good, but it ended up being bad direction in hindsight, right? So now the good news is there is somebody that can guarantee the direction they give you is always going to be good. It's actually always going to be the best direction that you could ever receive. And they're the only ones really that are ever capable or even capable of making that promise. And that is the Lord, basically. He is the only one that can give you direction that will always be guaranteed to be the best direction for you. And he can keep that promise, all right? And one of the benefits of our relationship with God through our faith in Jesus is that we've been given unlimited access to God to receive direction for all areas of our lives. First and foremost, we have God's word that is our ultimate source of direction. But then personally, when you place your faith in Jesus, he gave you the Holy Spirit to come inside of you and help you understand God's word and how it applies to you specifically in any given instance in our life. So we could always have direction, basically. And with so much conflicting information or so much uncertainty in the different information in the world today and knowing whether it's good or bad, especially in this last year, I think you would agree with me, so much conflicting information out there, I am more thankful than ever that ultimately I have the Lord to go to give me guidance, to give me direction, to let his will be made known to me in any given circumstance of my life, in all areas of my life, because he is the one person I know I can always trust. Now, one of the things that I've had to learn in my relationship with the Lord over the last 21 years, one of the things I'm still very much learning is, number one, first and foremost, that I need to go to Him first and foremost for direction. Doesn't mean that I can't kind of get guidance from other resources, but ultimately I'm always checking them through Him. He is my ultimate source of guidance and direction because I want to know what His will is for my life. So that's the first thing I got to learn. And then the real kind of tricky thing, and I think you would agree with me, is learning to discern the direction or the will of the Lord in my life. And that is what we are going to talk about tonight, or we're going to focus. I kind of narrowed it down to six key principles, if you will, that I've learned over my time of following the Lord and being important things to note when it comes to discerning the will of the Lord in your life. So let me go ahead and pray, and then we'll start going through these point by point, all right? Actually, let me list the first six or the six of them right off the bat, and then you we'll start going through these in more detail. Number one, seeking to have no will of your own. Number two, not following your feelings. Number three, looking to the Lord to lead you. Number four, prayer. Number five, looking for confirmation from the Lord. And number six, making sure the Lord has given you peace before proceeding. Those six things are the key principles to discerning the will of the Lord. If you didn't get them, I'm going to go through in more detail. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you so much that you have come into our lives. And one of the many benefits we get is that we don't have to try to figure things out on our own. Before you were with us, really, we truly were kind of lost. I mean, we could go to different sources to try to get guidance or direction, but there was really no way to guarantee that it was good. And we know that everything you say is right and good because you are good and you are always right. So through faith in your Son, we've been given access to you to always receive good guidance, good direction. And I'd be foolish not to take advantage of that, Lord, to always look to you to guide me in my life. And I thank you for being so patient with me, even when I'm still learning this and I look to other things. You're always quick to kind of get my attention and kind of steer me back in the right direction, to pull me back to you, to lead me in the way you want me to go, where you know I'll be best off. So, Lord, I know that's your will for all of us. So we want to pay attention to this, because I think, or I know, we all are in that same place of wanting to look to you first and foremost to lead us, and then learning how to know what is it you're saying and how you're leading us, how to really tell us direction from you in our lives so that we can follow it, Lord. So speak to your people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, six keys to discerning the will of God or direction from God in your life. Number one, seek to have no will of your own in any given matter. Now, this right here can typically be the main issue that needs to be overcome in order to hear God's voice and know His will in any given matter. Basically, not having a will of your own. Think of it this way. If you have a will, when I say will, it means you have a direction that you want to go in, no matter what, like a strong will. It's almost like putting on noise-canceling headphones in God's kingdom. Like, you're just like, all right, Lord, I want to hear from you, but only if it's this, you know, this is what I really want. So you're not even giving Him a chance to speak to you, okay? So Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 tells us kind of the key to understanding God's will in our lives. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not some of it, all of it, all right? Do not depend on your own understanding. So the idea there is that we can't depend on what we perceive is going on in our lives at any given moment, or we can't just depend only on what we perceive to be the best solution to any given problem in our lives, because we have a limited understanding at best. We don't know the future. We don't really know everything that's happening around us, even though we can think we do sometimes. Only God knows that. So His perception of the situation is always far greater than ours. And so our understanding is limited. We have to remind ourselves of that. I don't see everything I think I see here. Only God does. And so He knows better than us. So we don't depend on our understanding. And it goes on to say, seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path Dete. So the idea there is kind of a three-step thing. First, you trust or have faith in the Lord and his promises to you in his word, rather than your own understanding. Again, rather than the limited understanding or perception you have, you trust in him. You put your faith in him who has the complete picture in mind. And his promises that have always said he's going to lead you in a good direction, all right? And that will help you seek his will or be submitted and surrendered to him instead of what you think's best. All right, when you're not trusting in your own understanding, you'll be able to fully surrender to, like, all right, God, you have a bigger perception than I do. You see everything. You don't miss anything. And you have good plans for me. That's what your word says. So I'll trust you. I'll trust you more so than what I think's best, okay? And then once you do those two things, you will be able, or he'll be able to show you the direction he has for you, okay? Let me give you an example. So when I when I was asked to take over as lead pastor of this church 3.5 years ago, I definitely had a will of my own that wasn't in line with that, okay? Now, but I trusted that God knew better than me. A, because his word says so, but also because I'd been a Christian for many years, and I'd seen him prove that 100 out of 100 times. Many times that I thought I knew better than him, but then he proved himself to be true to his word and knowing better than me, okay? So he had 100% track record on that. So because of that, I was submitted, despite my limited understanding, to whatever he wanted for me. And that allowed me to see the direction he wanted me to take, all right? Even though, like I said, I thought differently than he did at first, I still knew that he knew better than me. That allowed me to be submitted to his will. And ultimately, even though I didn't understand all the details, it didn't make completely sense to me, it allowed me to see what that will was in that situation and step into that role he was telling me to take. And you can apply that to any situation in your life, all right? But that's the first thing. Seek to have no will of your own in any given matter. Now, second thing is, don't trust in your feelings alone. A whole lot of talk in this world about just doing what you feel is right. Okay, just go with your gut feeling. All right, that is not what the Bible teaches, all right? Now, the Lord can be the one leading those feelings, but what we always have to remember is that according to God's word, your feelings can be deceitful, all right? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So, we are flesh. The heart's kind of reflective of your whole entire, just your fleshly nature. And our flesh is prone to being either to mislead us or being deceived or misled by the enemy that's in this world that's trying to kill, steal, or destroy us. So we always have to be aware of that. Now, through Christ, through being born again, through the Holy Spirit coming inside of us, we're no longer in bondage. We're no longer a slave to our flesh or that sinful nature, which basically means that even though it's still there, you don't have to listen to it anymore. You have the Holy Spirit inside you to listen to guide you, to help you understand God's word and follow that, all right? But we're still susceptible to being led astray by it as long as we're in it. That's our hope. One day we'll be with the Lord. We won't be in our flesh. But right now, it's still a stumbling block if we let it to be. And if we're just trusting in our feelings alone, then that's when we're open to being deceived by it. So we always want to take our feelings, what we feel we should do in any given situation, and hold them up to the word. Just like if you had a $100 bill and you wanted to make sure it was authentic and it wasn't counterfeit, you'd hold it up to the light to see that magnetic strip that's in it. In the same way, you basically want to hold your feelings up to God's word, because if there's anything that your feelings are leading you to do that are contrary to God's word, I can tell you right now, if they're trying to deceive you, all right? Or the enemy's trying to deceive you, and that's not God's will. Now, here's another example, though. If what you're feeling, so often we can feel like the Lord's leading us in a certain direction, and it's not contrary to God's word. It actually lines up with God's word, all right? Now, having said that, it's still good to present that feeling to God, to give him a chance to say yes or no to whatever it is you think he's leading you in your life, so that he has a chance to confirm it to you. All right? When you guys that know my wife and I, there was for a long time, there was a season in our lives where we felt very strongly that the Lord was leading us to Colombia to be missionaries alongside our friends that were serving down there. We had a real burden for that ministry, and we took that as like, all right, the Lord's calling us to go down here, right? Now, that obviously wasn't wrong according to God's word. I mean, that's a good thing to want to go serve the Lord in another country at an orphanage, taking care of orphans and widows and preaching the word to the lost. That's a good thing. That's according to God's word, right? But it wasn't what the Lord specifically had for us. Or basically, there was a reason we had a burden for that ministry. There were other things the Lord did with us and through us involving that ministry. But it wasn't specifically to go down there and serve alongside them. So over time, what we did was we had brought that desire, that feeling to God to give him a chance to confirm it to us. And he made it clear that he had other plans. And I'll talk about that a little more on one of the other points, all right? But that second point, remember, don't trust your feelings alone. Third point, look to be led by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. Again, our initial tendency is always going to be trying to lead ourselves in any given thing in our life, okay? So you have to intentionally learn not to do that, or intentionally, when you have that desire, when there's something you need direction or guidance in, not try to just figure it out yourself, but go to God instead. Make that effort to him, to go to him to let you lead you through it. That's why he gave you the Holy Spirit. Jesus called him the helper. He's your helper to help you lead through, help lead you through life. We want to have the same desire as the psalmist in Psalm 143:10, who said, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing." All right. Now, anytime we're looking to anyone or anything else for guidance or direction, we are potentially setting ourselves up to be led by those things other than God. Now, I'm not saying you can't get guidance or direction from other things in this world. God uses those other things. But again, he's our ultimate source. So whenever you're getting any direction or guidance from anything else, you're always taking that to God, who is your ultimate source. Again, and you're holding it up to him saying, is this good direction? Is this good guidance? You're holding up to his word, and then you're looking to him specifically to lead you in it or not. All right? Now, and one thing to note is that the Spirit of God is always going to guide us according to the word of God, and never against it. Man, more often times than I'd like to see, I hear of people or see people making decisions or doing things or considering things that they think the Lord is leading them in or telling them to do, but are blatantly against what God's word says, or they have no scriptural example. And that right there should be the automatic red flag that this is not the Lord. This is not the Holy Spirit leading me to do this, because he's not going to leave you, he's not going to contradict himself. He's not going to go against his word. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to know God's word for yourself, because if you don't, that is one of the main things that leads us open to being deceived or led astray. All right? So we need to know God's word so that we can let the Holy Spirit lead us, or look to the Holy Spirit to lead us through this life, and know that what we're hearing from the Holy Spirit is basically in line with what God's word says. All right, so that was the third point. Look to be led by the Spirit of God through the word of God. Fourth point, pray for God to clearly reveal his will to you. Now, prayer is essential, absolutely essential to knowing the will of the Lord in your life, as that is the main way we ask him to direct us. And also the main way we present what we feel is the direction he is leading us into him, so that he can clarify to us whether it's his will or not. James 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you he will not rebuke you for asking. Now, that's a promise. A promise in Scripture to those that have placed their faith in Jesus Christ that if you need wisdom, if you need direction, if you need guidance, God is going to be generous in giving it to you. And he's not going to rebuke you. He's not going to get mad. He's not going to get tired that you're coming to him, like, bothered by you. No, it's like my kids, I mean, or our kids. As parents, we want them to come to us for guidance and direction because we've lived life longer than they have, and we've made mistakes, and we've learned from those mistakes, and we've seen those things that are good, and we want to lead them in those good things. Well, God obviously is perfect where we're not. So he has the ultimate wisdom and guidance and direction, and he wants to lead us as his children in those good things. And he is more than happy to help you and lead you in those things, okay? Now, this is, again, something that we have to be intentional to do as far as praying, as far as seeking God, because it's not going to happen on its own, all right? And there are different ways to do this to ensure that you're actually being intentional about this. For me, when I have something in my life that I'm really seeking direction from the Lord on, and I want to remember to do it regularly, I put it in my prayer journal. Because that way, I have like kind of informal prayer with the Lord where I'm kind of talking to him throughout the day, or maybe spend some time just, you know, being in his presence, enjoying it, letting him lead me in that time. But I also have formal prayer where I have a prayer journal that has specific things that I want to make sure that I'm praying for often, all right? And so I would encourage that. If you need something to kind of discipline yourself in making sure that there's something you're specifically seeking his direction for, write it down and then go through that, you know, every week or every day or whatever, and you'll remember to seek the Lord for that direction, all right? Now, often when we're seeking the Lord in prayer for guidance or direction in something, you're not going to get an answer right away. Sometimes you might, but not a lot of the time, all right? It basically, because God has perfect timing, all right? And his time, just because he doesn't answer right away doesn't mean he's not going to answer. It's just he's waiting to the right time, which only he knows, to answer, right? Now, patience, maybe you can relate with me, is not something that I'm naturally good at. But it's something that is a fruit of the Spirit. And so, again, when we are letting the Holy Spirit lead us in this life and trying to lead instead of trying to lead ourselves, you are going to experience that fruit of the Spirit and be patient and waiting for God to answer your prayers and lead you and give you direction and give you guidance. Now, an example of this for me that I thought of was a while back. We were, you know, before we were in the house that we currently live in, which was a total miracle, God brought us that. But we had sold our house, and we were living in a rental for 2.5 years that increasingly kind of the price on it went up. So it was just expensive, and we were looking at a bunch of different options, what it seemed like forever, over a period of 2 years, and what the Lord wanted us to do as soon as he confirmed we were supposed to stay here. So it was like, do we buy? Do we build? And we were exploring these different options. We ended up buying a lot, and we were trying to build on it, but we had a bunch of things fall through because they looked good, and then they turned out being way more expensive than we thought. And I remember specifically, we were praying to God. We were seeking him for an answer, but we just felt like everything we were trying to explore was just kind of getting, the door was getting closed, and it was getting frustrating. So I walked in, I had taken over as pastor, I'd walked into the office on a Tuesday, and there was a note on my desk that somebody wanted to talk to me about the sermon on Sunday, which I automatically took that as a bad thing, like, oh, great. But I called the person, it wasn't somebody I recognized, and they had told me that, hey, you know, I really sensed the Lord told me during the teaching that we were supposed to, him and his wife were supposed to sell their house to us, or that it would be something that we would probably fit us, you know. And so they were like a couple that was looking to move closer to their kids. And so having said that, I let my wife know this. You know, it was a house in Astoria, and just kind of sounded like something that worked for us. So I let her know. And she calls me right away, and she's pretty emotional, and she's just like, man, if you only knew what I was just praying with the kids. She was driving to town, and she was at this kind of just frustrated with things not going the way as planned and not hearing a clear direction from the Lord. And she was just honest and kind of talking to God so the kids could hear and praying and asking God, hey, Lord God, could you just show us what you want us to do clearly, you know, it so that we know what your will is in this situation. It seems like nothing's working out. We just need you to direct us. And no sooner does she pray, literally minutes after I send her that text about this person wanting to sell their house to us. Now, there were some months after that where the Lord, we just were being stubborn and didn't take that clearly as his answer, but he did confirm it faithfully over that time. But having said that, it was a good answer or a good example of praying for God to clearly reveal his will to us and him doing that. So that's the first, fourth thing. Pray for God to clearly reveal his will to you. Fifth thing, look for confirmation from the Lord. Or basically, when you sense or you feel or you think you've heard from the Lord and he's leading you in a certain direction or telling you something to do, it's okay to go to God and ask him to clearly direct and show you his will in a way that only he could divinely orchestrate or just make it clear in such a way that there's no question. Basically, you see lots of example with God's people. Actually, you're going to see it this Sunday with Ananias when he's told to go and minister to Paul or heal his blindness. Confirmation. When he starts to question God, God gives him confirmation. And so you see this all throughout Scripture. I think one of the best examples that I always remember is in Judges 6 with Gideon. Here's this guy that's not exactly a brave warrior type guy, and the Israelites are under the oppression of the Midianites, and God goes and tells them, I want you to deliver my people from the Midianites. Basically, go and lead them in battle against them, and I'm going to give you victory. And so he's a little reluctant, and he asks for confirmation, not once, not twice, but three times. He asks for a sign from the Lord, and this is all in Judges 6. I'm not going to go through all of it, but you can look it up on your own. And then God gives him this miraculous sign with basically making this offering go up in flames. And then if that's not enough, he says, here's a fleece. I'm going to put it outside on the threshing floor, and I want it to be wet with dew in the morning, but all the ground around it dry. And then God does that. And then he's like, all right, don't be mad at me. I just want another sign. And so he says, now I'm going to take the fleece and I'm going to put it out there, and I want it to be dry while all the ground around it is wet. And God does it three times. And actually, what we see is God doesn't get angry. He doesn't get impatient with him. It's actually if he appreciates Gideon making sure that he's hearing the Lord correctly, that he's getting what the Lord is telling him to do and making sure he's not making a mistake. And he's very patient and accommodating. And so in much the same way, God wants to be that way with us. It's okay to ask for confirmation for him to clarify things instead of just jumping into something, all right? Regarding Colombia, you know, being missionaries there, there were some very specific things that we asked God to confirm to us. There were actually three. And in our minds, they were kind of very practical things that should happen, you know, if we're supposed to go there. Number one was our house selling, and we put it on the market, and it didn't sell. We ended up taking it off the market. And then it actually sold crazy, in a crazy way. Somebody basically came one day. I was out mowing the lawn, said, hey, can I look at your house as a sale? And it's like, well, it's not on the market, but, I mean, we might be willing to sell it. And literally that weekend, they came and made an offer and bought it in cash. And so we took that as like, all right, now's the time to go. We're going to Colombia. And that didn't happen, but that was one confirmation we were looking for. It turned out to not be for that reason. But having said that, the second one was for our pastor to see that same calling on our lives. Because when I initially sensed or felt like the Lord was calling us there, I told him, and his reaction was not what I wanted. Like, he was like, I don't see that for you. And he had seen something else even way before I even got asked to become a pastor at this church as a replacement for him. But, you know, at the time I'm like, what do you mean you don't see this? You know, it's like, I'm willing to sell everything and go into the mission field. You should be on board. But, you know, instead of like having a bad attitude, I just prayed. I'm like, okay, well, this is like a reasonable thing. You know, it's like, I mean, I don't want to go in the mission field if my pastor doesn't see the same thing the Lord's doing in my life. I want that confirmation. And I think that's something the Lord should be able to do. We have the same Holy Spirit inside of us. He should see that too. So that was something we were praying for, which we never got because obviously the Lord got other plans. And then the third thing we asked for was to be invited by the people who were down there serving. We didn't just want to go throw ourselves into ministry. And we, you know, we got along good, like, with the people that were down there. They were lifelong friends of ours and stuff. So in my mind, it was like, well, you know, I'm not going to invite myself. They should invite us down. And here's the funny thing is that years later, after I became pastor here, I was talking to my friends down there, the Riffles, and about this and saying, like, obviously God had other plans, but, you know, these were things we were praying for confirmation on. He's like, that's so funny. He's like, because we wanted so bad to ask you guys to come down here and serve with us. There was absolutely no reason why we shouldn't, other than when we prayed, we did not have peace that that's what we were supposed to have to do. It was like the Lord was saying, no, don't do it. And he didn't give us a reason. And like now, looking in hindsight, we understand what that reason was. But having said that, again, it's like we God loves it when we go and seek like his confirmation for him to clarify things for us. So it's okay to do that. And I would encourage you guys to take him up on that and do that. So now, last thing, make sure you have peace before proceeding. All right. After prayerfully seeking the Lord for direction and kind of assessing things the best you can, you should have peace about proceeding with what you sense the Lord is leading you to do before moving forward with it. Man, I was just having this conversation with my wife yesterday about somebody that she knows that was trying to figure out direction for the certain situation in their life, and they were kind of frustrated because they just felt like there wasn't clarity in what they should do. So their mentality was, I'm just going to do it. And I'm like, no, that's like the most horrible way to move forward and do something. Don't just do it because there's not clarity. All right. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we think we have to move forward on things way before we really do. You don't move forward if you don't have peace. Now, one thing I would note, though, is that having peace in something doesn't mean you have to understand all of the details, or basically you can have direction for something, still not understand all the details about it, and still have peace in moving forward. Actually, God's word teaches you that you don't have to understand everything going on in your life to have peace, because you're trusting in the one that is responsible for everything going on, okay? That's key, all right? It tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. So instead of worrying, we pray. We tell God specifically what we need. We thank him for all he's done, because he's been nothing but faithful to lead us up to that point and do good things. And then you have a peace which exceeds anything you can understand. It's not based on understanding all the details or things going your way. It's just a peace in the God that is in control of all those details, okay? Isaiah 26:3 tells us, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When we're going to God for guidance and wisdom and leading, when our mind is fixed on him, you will be in peace. And if you don't have peace, you continue to seek God until you have peace. Again, there is no reason why you have to move forward on anything. God has a good way if you're moving too slow and kind of giving you a little push in the butt to get you going, all right? You don't have to worry about that. It's like you just wait upon the Lord and let him clarify things and go into that next step when he tells you to. Now, again, with becoming a pastor, I didn't completely understand why the Lord was wanting me to step into that role when I did. But I did have peace in going in that direction that he made clear he was leading me in, despite not having all those details, because I knew he was in charge of all those details. Now, he has since, over the last 3.5 years, made it very clear to me why he wanted me to step into this role. But having said that, again, I didn't need to know any of those details ahead of time to have peace to go into it, because I trusted in the one that was going to work out all those details and was in charge of them. Amen? All right, so that's the last thing. Make sure you have peace before proceeding. All right? Now, just in summary, again, I want to leave you with Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. When it comes down to it, if you want guidance, you want wisdom, you want direction from the Lord, it comes down to committing. Like when you're committed to something, you're dedicated. You're committing everything to him. All right? Complete surrender. The whole idea of Romans 12, we talked about this on Sunday. It's the only rational response to everything God's done for you is to surrender everything to him, commit it to him, and then he will establish your plans. I like that idea of establish, because he won't only lead you in them, but he will make them happen, because it's the Lord. He who calls you is the one who will surely do it, like it says in 1 Thessalonians, all right? So ultimately, your submission to him is going to lead you to a surety in his will for you, all right? Now, that should give you guys lots of things to talk about amongst your groups. Maybe you guys have examples of where the Lord's kind of, you know, in these different points I've pointed out today, you have your own applications or your own examples where he's kind of met you in those ways and you've learned those things in your own walk. Maybe you're somebody that is looking for direction or guidance and the Lord kind of spoke to you, reminded you of some things today, and you just need to get prayer with your brothers and sisters on waiting upon him and looking to him and letting him kind of guide you through something or give you confirmation on something. So I'd encourage you guys in your prayer time together in groups to kind of share those things so people can kind of pray with you on that stuff, all right? But hopefully that's been an encouragement to you tonight, knowing that, I mean, at any given moment in our life, we're always looking for direction. We're always looking for wisdom. We're looking for guidance. And we want to make sure that we're looking to the Lord. That is one of the greatest benefits we have as God's children, is we no longer have to try to figure things out on our own or lead ourselves through this life. We have a perfect Father in heaven to lead us, all right? So God bless you guys. You have a great evening.